Welcome to Let's Talk Loyalty, an industry podcast for loyalty marketing professionals. I'm your host, Paula Thomas, and if you work in loyalty marketing, join me every week to learn the latest ideas from loyalty specialists around the world. This episode is sponsored by Epsilon. Today, I'm delighted to announce a unique opportunity for one lucky listener of Let's Talk Loyalty to enjoy a complimentary workshop with the loyalty experts at Epsilon. One brand every month will have the chance for a unique, independent loyalty lab, a review of your loyalty program, where Epsilon will share their expert ideas how to drive your program's performance to a whole new level. This workshop is a powerful way for you to measure and then increase the return on your investment in your loyalty program. So to apply, head over to letstalkloyalty.com/Epsilon and enter your details. Hello and welcome to this episode of Let's Talk Loyalty, focusing on some exciting new loyalty insights relevant for marketeers here in the UAE. As part of their global expansion, our friends in Epsilon have been hard at work here, researching consumers' loyalty preferences. In such an incredibly ambitious country, loyalty marketers in the UAE are increasingly keen to understand how their brands compare to competitors in their industry in terms of earning their customer loyalty, as well as understanding how do they compare to other industries. Today, led by Ganga Ganapathy, Epsilon's Vice President of International Marketing, Epsilon is launching exactly that, their retail category benchmarking insights for the UAE, known as the Epsilon Loyalty Index. Ganga joins me to explain the strategic thinking that led to the decision to invest in this effort to build an industry index and some of the surprising findings that emerged. Then I was also thrilled to find out just today that Epsilon's Loyalty Index has been announced by the International Loyalty Awards as one of their 2023 finalists for the best use of communications. So I'm super pleased for everyone at Epsilon that this work is being recognized on the global stage. I hope you enjoy listening to my conversation with Ganga Ganapathy from Epsilon. So, Ganga, welcome to Let's Talk Loyalty.
Paula, thank you so much for having me on your show. Your podcast is fabulous. I love how you champion the great strides that the world of business is making with loyalty marketing. And it's great to share a table with you.
Amazing. And you're coming through loud and clear, Ganga. I know Zoom isn't always your friend, but it's working beautifully. So thank you for persevering with me. And you have certainly been a champion of mine, Ganga, now for many years. Actually, many people will know that Epsilon was the first sponsor of our show. So I'm very, very grateful to all of the work you do for us. So let's get straight into it, Ganga. As you know, there's a huge amount that we're going to talk through today and super interested to hear your perspective in terms of how, I suppose, particularly Epsilon enters new markets, particularly the one that I'm resident in, which is super exciting to see. But before we do that, as you know, I always love to get a sense of what is my guest's favorite loyalty program, so I know what inspires you. So Ganga, please tell me, what is your favorite loyalty program?
Well, for today, I've picked one that I haven't personally experienced because it's not from the part of the world that I live in, but I uncovered Discovery Bank as part of my research, and I was blown by everything that they're doing in terms of innovation, building the future of banking, calling themselves the behavioral bank. That is the heart of any successful marketing, right? And the Fortune magazine recognizes them on their Change the World list. And that's something to be said for a bank. I know their loyalty program, Vitality Active Rewards, is at the heart of how they drive customer engagement. And I thought they're doing all the right things in terms of staying authentic, connecting, you know, beautifully with younger generations. And I was really, really impressed with what they do.
Amazing. And I don't know if you know, Ganga, but when I'm asked this question, because so many people, of course, love to ask me back, what is my favorite loyalty program? It's the exact same one that I talk about.
Isn't that amazing? Oh, wow.
It truly is. And I've often said, Ganga, you know, South Africa is a loyalty market that feels like it doesn't get the global recognition that it deserves. And we're certainly doing a lot on this show, of course, to address that. But I think the single most important thing for the audience listening to this is you and I both know loyalty extremely well, thankfully. But Vitality's just got that, I suppose, total, extraordinary, I suppose, business perspective and integrity that so many loyalty professionals, I really think we aspire to. And I guess some of the things that really inspire me about Discovery particularly is, first of all, that company was set up back in 1992. So I don't know when Vitality was launched, but my sense is it was about like literally within the first couple of years. And the most gorgeous thing actually I thought is they decided that instead of paying for sickness in terms of health insurance, which is where they started, they wanted to pay for wellness. So they have this gorgeous program. As you said, it incentivizes, you know, consumer behavior, which both drives their cost base down and drives their business up. So it's just incredible. So I'm super impressed you found it.
I'm so glad. And I'm so happy to hear that someone like you sees what they do and appreciate it. When I was reading through their case study, for me, it was seeing this beautiful sense of harmony that they're able to create for people who are truly in touch with their inner selves, right? It's almost like being twice blessed or twice rewarded. Totally. First, you do the right thing because it's something you believe in. So you go to the gym, you eat the right kind of food, and then you get validated for having done that with a reward from your bank.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I do know as well, first of all, by the way, Vitality is coming on to Let's Talk Loyalty. Finally, we've been hoping for a long time. So April 12th, anyone listening who's interested in hearing directly from Discovery will be able to hear that direct story. So I'm sure, Ganga, you'll be listening with open ears to that one. But the other point that I do know is that they don't like to call themselves a loyalty program. They actually just see it as a way of being good business people and just being good to people, like a force for social good. It's quite incredible, really.
I love that. I love it that you can drop labels and connect with people as people, right? That's what the world needs more of.
Totally, Ganga. Listen, we're totally aligned and off to an amazing start. So let's look back at your career. What I really love is the breadth of experience you have, Ganga, across agencies, both on the, I suppose, marketing agency side, and then moving into IT and technology, but always doing things at incredible scale, which really amazes me because I've often worked for, you know, the SME sector, but you've done things in an incredible way. So talk us a bit about your own career background.
Paula, thank you. I think I'm an advertising person at heart. It started with my education. Mm-hmm. I've spent 20 of my 25 years in ad agencies or related spaces, including Epsilon. Mm-hmm. I love the industry for being customer focused and for the sheer innovation and creativity that the industry is able to unleash. I also serve on the governing council of my alma mater. It's called MICA. It's a top ranked communication school. I see myself as a diversity and an inclusion champion as well. I'm always cognizant of what a privileged woman I am. My parents rooted for my education and career. My husband is a one person army who ensures I never feel the pressure of having to do everything. Wow. A son who's grown up seeing me always on the move. And now I work in an organization that is ultra respectful of associates' lives within and outside of work. Everyone is not that lucky, right? And I always try and look for ways to give back. At work today, I find myself at the intersection of creative thinking and cutting-edge technology innovation, exactly like you said. Mm-hmm. And this is tech that truly delivers, right? So Epsilon is a beautiful sum total of all my career experiences and expectations so far. Almost serendipitous, but yeah, here I am.
Wow. I was going to ask you actually what attracted you to Epsilon, Ganga, but it sounds like, as you said, it was like the perfect alignment of everything you believe in.
Totally. My first meeting with my manager then, who is my manager even now, and I absolutely knew that I needed to be here. I'm so glad I made that decision.
Wow. And tell us where you're based, Ganga, because I know India is a big country. So where exactly are you located?
So I live in Bangalore, Paula. It is I've been here now for about 20 years. I spent my childhood traveling all over in India, thanks to my dad who was in the army. Yeah. But I live in Bangalore now, and it is like an epicenter of business in the region. Yeah. And while we are based here, I work with a team that's spread out across the region, right? So I collaborate very closely with our teams in Australia, in Singapore, in Dubai, as you know, in Paris, London, Dublin. So it's a world without boundaries, and where you live doesn't really matter that much anymore.
For sure. And you have a huge scope of responsibility as well, Ganga. And I guess many of them would be fairly new territories for Epsilon. So maybe tell us a bit about how Epsilon has grown up, maybe in terms of its origins, you know, just in other markets and where you're currently focusing.
Sure. So Epsilon has existed in the US for over 50 years now, and we've been leaders in outcome-driven marketing, right? So our platforms, the data that we work with, the trust that we've built with our clients and customers there, all make for the perfect combination of ensuring that data and technology is infused into the creative that marketing so strongly needs. And I feel really lucky to be experiencing our entry into new and emerging markets now. There's leadership thinking at play here by supporting and developing new markets with a focus on education and responding to the needs of brands in the context of their customers' evolving expectations. Since we're on Let's Talk Loyalty, let me explain this in the context of our loyalty offering, yeah. Really. Though I must say, and you and I have discussed this many times, Paula, that building loyalty doesn't necessarily have to be only on a loyalty platform, right? That's traditional totally. Thinking.
Yeah.
Right. As long as you're able to, leverage the consent and the respect that customers repose in a brand, as long as you're able to use the data well, you should be able to, create loyalty with every touch point and every interaction that you have with a customer. Mm. And successful loyalty marketing, of course, relies on the trust between brands and customers. It's a precious space. It's one where customers share their data, give brands consent, and are open about their own expectations and how they'd like to engage. And that's one space that I've seen Epsilon, really be able to engage well with brands and help brands engage with their customers to drive the whole interaction to success.
Amazing. And you've said before, of course, it's only when actually customers are really, loving their interaction with brands that actually that brand can be successful. And I guess that's when Epsilon sees itself as being successful as well. So I love that, I suppose, holistic thinking in terms of starting at the ultimate expectation and delivering that surprise and delight at every opportunity. So tell us about this move into new markets, Ganga.
So as we enter emerging markets, Paula, and again, I'll talk about loyalty a little more than the other platforms. The philosophy that we are taking with us is one that we call value-led loyalty, right? With value-led loyalty, we believe that when you set up brands as well as their customers for mutual success, you can do this by focusing on a compelling value exchange. Epsilon ensures that the word loyalty is never treated lightly, because we know that one-sided loyalty programs are doomed to fail. Mm-hmm. Both the brand and the consumers need to really experience a program that delivers the value that they seek and perhaps even exceed it, right? Mm-hmm. So this value exchange is the critical component needed for any loyalty marketing program to succeed, really. Mm-hmm. As we went into new markets, we could have easily gone in with a high decibel PR blitz, riding on the success of our thriving business in the US, as well as industry recognition that we constantly win and are recognized for.
Yeah.
But I think that would have suited neither our brand personality nor the goals of the marketeers that we seek to partner with. right? You can never get somebody to work with you because of who you are. People choose to work with you when they see that, again, there is mutual benefit and there is something that, they would gain from you. And therefore, with an understanding that especially in the Middle East, the UAE in particular, loyalty marketeers have big ambition. We see how aware they are, how informed, and how much they want to do. But sometimes there is a gap between that intelligence and the knowledge of what is possible versus what can actually get executed. And this is perhaps due to limitations of legacy loyalty technology or CRM platforms that have been invested in. Yeah. Loyalty ends up becoming somewhat transactional, right? It gets reduced to an earn and burn of reward points. Our customers, on the other hand, we know have long exited the world of vanilla transactions. Their world is filled with speed and color and glitz. And as they immerse themselves in new tech experiences, we should not be taking them away from that only because marketing has its own limitations. Mm. So how do we sort of, immerse ourselves in that world? I don't want to talk about the Epsilon People Cloud loyalty platform because and I know that, it can execute anything that a client needs in terms of design, reward, customer data integration. Yeah. And that's where, Paula, a loyalty marketing team needs to be really in tune with their brand's customers to deliver a program that resonates, right? And this thinking brought us to conceiving and executing on the Epsilon Loyalty Index. So this index has been conceptualized and customized to gather information, provide direction to 40 brands, the top 40 brands in the UAE that see high frequency of customer engagement. And we believe that this will help CMOs and CTOs appreciate the customer's perspective and allow them to deliver this value exchange that we so strongly believe in.
Amazing, amazing stuff, Ganga. You're absolutely right. First and foremost, I think everybody agrees that UAE is probably the most ambitious country in the world. Like, I would genuinely say it's one of the reasons I live here. You know, I come from Ireland, and in Ireland, there's often a mentality that I think, that it's hard to do things and it's hard to be the best. But here in UAE, honestly, we want the best and we believe we can have it. So I love this idea that that you're focusing your marketing efforts, I suppose, not just on the value exchange, as you said, between brands and their consumers, but I guess also between, like, what value can you bring to the marketeers? Because I think ultimately what you and I both know and probably learned over many years in our own careers, it takes time to build trust, particularly with something as big a decision, I guess, as a loyalty marketing platform. So what it feels like to me is that you're taking the right approach, like providing value up front with this consumer research that I know for a fact, if I was leading a program and wanted to know what my customers wanted, especially compared to my competitors and in my sector, like honestly, that type of research is absolutely invaluable. So you must be super proud it's finally coming out now.
Thrilled with it, Paula, because, something like this is not easy to execute, right? Your day-to-day business always takes precedence. And thought leadership is something that everyone wants to do, but it's really hard to find the resources and the time to pull it together. Yeah. But this is one thing I'm so glad that all of us believe in and have persevered on. Because like you said, this is our way of telling the brands that we want to work with, that this is our investment in our relationship. It's a gift of knowledge. Mm. And we hope that, people are able to leverage this. And honestly, to access the report as it stands, we're just here to share it, right? There is no complicated process you need to go through. There's no cost involved. There's information that has been gathered. It's going to further the maturity of the market. Yeah. We're here to share it. So I'm happy to spend a few minutes talking about that with you.
Amazing. And just so everyone knows, you did go to the absolute extent of capturing that consumer feedback, both in English and Arabic, Ganga. How was that?
Paula, having come from the world of advertising, and of course, Epsilon is a part of the Publicis group, right? Yeah. There is no way you cannot be empathetic to the market and the consumers that you're working with.
Yeah.
So we needed to hit scale, and we also needed to make sure we were really authentic. So yeah. We decided to study four retail categories. There's grocery, beauty, fashion, and banking.
Okay.
The UAE, as we know, is unique in its demographics. It attracts people from all over the world.
Yeah.
So our sample of over 2,000 respondents mm-hmm. reflects the demographic composition of the UAE in terms of the gender split as well as the nationalities represented. And by giving respondents a choice to respond in either English or Arabic, we believe that has returned information that is authentic and truly represents their region's perception towards the brands that they feel loyal to.
Incredible. And just so people do know, you've also done this research just once before, because it's still fairly new, but you've done it in Australia as well, Ganga. So maybe just give us a bit of the backstory. I'm sure it's gone down extremely well for Australian loyalty marketers.
It has, Paula. So we released our Australia study in August of 2022, and we're ready to share the UAE study now in March. And the very fact that we've gone to a new region and are able to, you know, produce a study at the same scale should be an indicator of how marketeers are appreciating the information and the insight that they get. Like I said, it's, somewhat formulaic. When you think a program isn't doing well, you'll either look at the outcomes and say, okay, what can I get people to do more of, which is how do I get them to buy more, visit me more, things like that. Mm-hmm. Or you may go back to the factors that you use to design your program, right? Mm-hmm. And say, okay, what kind of an offer? Should I do a 2X program? Should I bundle some cross-sell opportunities? What we need to remember is that the human mind and heart processes information in very unique ways. And each human's response to an offer is different, right? What the Loyalty Index has done in both of these studies now is to try and make life a little easier for marketeers by unraveling these mysteries. Mm-hmm. So imagine knowing what kind of loyalty drivers touch a consumer emotionally or touch a consumer rationally, mm-hmm. and whether that impact is even important to a category. Mm. Right. So the way we sort of use the different factors that influence how a loyalty program is designed, you can now make your decision based on how you think that is going to impact your audience. And there is data and statistics to prove the validity of any decision.
Absolutely. And drivers is a key that I know is fundamental, Ganga, to how this loyalty index is structured. Will you talk a bit about those drivers and where you've I suppose, learnt about these four different verticals? Because I think there's so many different ways. Sometimes I think we maybe oversimplify by just saying, you know, there's emotional loyalty and there's transactional loyalty. But there's a lot more depth to it than that. So will you talk to us a bit about the drivers themselves?
Sure, Paula, I can do that. So when we look at the drivers of loyalty, right, we broke it down into two buckets. There is the loyalty fundamentals, which include your product, price, where you buy from, the promotion you're running, or the service that you offer. Mm-hmm. We know that these are the building blocks of any business. But we also know there are other things that make a customer or a person decide whether they want to engage with a brand or not. Mm-hmm. And we've included 10 of those in our study. We call that the loyalty accelerators. So this could be things like, do you feel like a brand is adding value to your life? Do you feel like a brand is encouraging you to participate in something that the brand is doing or with a community that might be important to you? Mm-hmm. Does a brand recognize you, make you feel seen, make you feel special? That sort of thing. A lot of times we find that consumers aren't using their points because they're not even aware of how to do it. That becomes a very important factor in the way you experience a loyalty program. So if you handhold a customer and say, hey, you've got all these points, and before they lapse, this is the way you would, you could probably use it. Every little interaction makes a difference in the way customers would relate to a brand.
Yeah, I think that's a universal problem as well, Ganga. And I don't know if it's something you've seen with them, even in the US market, for example. Like, I genuinely think it's every single loyalty program. There always seems to be this issue about ongoing awareness, education, and I suppose inspiration as well. So what I'm liking, what I'm hearing from you is really understanding those drivers in detail. So then you can focus that kind of handholding piece in terms of where those members actually need to experience it.
Absolutely, Paula, because, you know, when you look at the drivers, and that's the most visible and obvious thing to a marketeer, right? Mm. What we figured is that it's not enough just to play around with the drivers as levers without knowing the impact that they can have. For me, the human brain is like a super processor, right? In a split second, people are making decisions on what they're going to do and how they're going to react. Mm. Now, imagine as a marketer being able to read with some degree of certainty whether, say, a person feels that buying from a brand is an enjoyable experience. Do they feel like a brand reflects their personal values? These are the scores that will tell you whether you're winning over a person heart, right? And that's where your share of heart as a driver of attitudes becomes important. Similarly, when a person believes that they feel rewarded, whether they, you know, are getting value for money or whether they're willing to pay a premium for a brand, when you understand that, it tells you whether a brand is gaining on what we call share of value. And again, if share of value is even important for that category. And lastly, how is this brand perceived relative to competition? Will the person buy from you again the next time? Do you risk losing them to competition? Do you think they will advocate for you? All of that comes into what we call the share of mind. So share of heart, share of value, share of mind are the attitudinal factors that we've derived based on how people respond to the loyalty drivers, which are the ones that you see most obviously, right? And that's where the loyalty index becomes a statistically significant model to help a marketer understand which are the levers that I can make, say, small changes in to achieve a larger than proportionate outcome.
Amazing. Yeah. And I'm thinking back to my own career as well, Ganga, in terms of, you know, we always had our own, I suppose, internal customer research, of course, because, you know, there is that, I suppose, awareness and understanding as marketers that we always have to be listening. And it's relatively easy. I won't say totally easy, but it's relatively easy to listen to our own customers. But then I suppose to go out and get that competitive perspective directly from, you know, that independent source, so that they can actually, consumers can say honestly what they feel without feeling, okay, I just have to respond back to this particular survey. You know, I just had a wonderful experience, for example, with IKEA, and they sent me a follow-up survey, and I know they'll use that and they'll listen because they're that kind of brand. But as a loyalty marketer, what I'm guessing is that you're hoping that in the UAE, loyalty marketers can get a sense of how they're perceived versus their competitors. But I know you also don't name the individual brands because of your code of conduct. Am I right in terms of how the report is actually published?
Totally, Paula, because while this is an independent study and we've gone and talked to consumers and gotten data, based on their experiences, given that we are part of the whole marketing ecosystem, we know how important it is that brands' data is protected. And therefore, while this data doesn't belong to any brand per se, we would still not share competitive information. Because, you know, that's the whole point. In a way, Epsilon's philosophy has always been rooted in respect for privacy, the way we manage our consumers' data. And that comes together even in the way we are going about sharing this report with marketeers in the industry. Thank Amazing. You for bringing that up.
Yeah, no, I think it's important because at the end of the day, you do have that insight on, you know, which retailers or grocery, for example, have you said are being perceived well. So there's absolutely nothing to be gained by embarrassing anybody. So we're all very clear on that. But we're here to learn. So why not understand where we are versus our competitors, but only privately? So I think that's super, super important. Wonderful.
Yeah. Because from the study, what we're also seeing is, say, every category you've studied 10 brands, right? And you may see that two or three are really up there and they're really close together. So there is insight for each brand on what little tweak they may need to make to edge ahead and gain the space that is still left, that is unclaimed by any other brand. Yeah. On the other hand, if a brand is a laggard, instead of struggling with, say, 15 attributes that need to change, which is impossible, as we know, for anyone to do, you may recognize there are just two that allow you to occupy white space in the category and push you from being number 10 to, say, number 5 and taking the others by surprise, right? That's the magic lens that I believe the Epsilon Loyalty Index really offers.
You know, I'm feeling quite competitive when I'm listening to you, Ganga. I'm like, I can totally imagine the impact now when this starts to land. So what did, I suppose, either surprise or delight you? I know it's hot off the presses. Here we are, the middle of March, and literally launching the UAE Epsilon Loyalty Index now, literally this week. So what do you think surprised you, or for the marketeers who are going to be downloading it, what do you think they'll find surprising?
So Paula, each category has behaved differently, right? We've looked at fashion, grocery, beauty, and banking. And it's so delightful for me as a marketer to see that it's the same consumer who has responded on all four categories. And in each of them, their responses are different. So in a way, even for a banker to look at how their consumer feels, not just about banking, but also about grocery and beauty retail, could be such an eye-opener, because you're getting to understand this person in their totality, right? And not just as a customer of a bank or of a beauty brand. So for me, that was one thing that I'm, you know, really waiting to start telling stories about. But individually on each of these categories, maybe I could share one or two things that, sort of found.
Yeah.
So I'll start with fashion. There's a big trend towards casualization with a focus on comfort. There's sustainability that's important. Almost a quarter of consumers in the UAE buy from purpose-driven brands, and the omni-channel approach, of course, with the phone becoming a big driver of commerce. Mm-hmm. What we found as the biggest determinants of loyalty in the fashion category is the store experience and the service that you get. Mm-hmm. Right? Fashion is also a really tough category because of how demanding people can be. And you and I know how we are when we're shoppers. Totally. We look for a combination of emotional value and rational drivers before we gift our loyalty to a brand. And we are ready to make a switch at the slightest provocation. The advantage here is that as long as a brand is nimble and can lockstep with each consumer in their unique world, it is possible to win, right? I'll name a few brands. I won't talk of scores, you know, like we discussed, but some of the brands did it really well. For example, Zara elicits really strong loyalty. But Mango, which is also an equally strong brand, seems to have an advantage of converting consumers to loyalists quicker than anybody else. Wow. H&M may rank just a little lower, but there are unique drivers that they can pick up, and we know they can quickly gain, you know, advantage if they worked with that.
Yeah.
And the best news for fashion is it's an intensely competitive category. All 10 brands are rather close, but overall, the category clocked in at just 76 points, which means with an index of 100, the field is wide open for any brand that chooses to make a leap and cover that gap of 24 points that still exists in the category.
Wow. My goodness. Yes, super exciting. And again, I shop certainly with Zara, love H&M, and I must go back into Mango.
They might grab you. Yes.
Amazing. Okay. So give us the next sector.
Okay, so when it comes to beauty, there is a conscious beauty movement that's taken hold. We know that social commerce is here to stay, and you'll find that the category is extremely rational. There are unique trends like seeking mass products, but with prestige positioning, right? These are the little ways I think that the beauty market is changing. Beauty is also becoming so much about access, right? You've got to keep it real. Your values have to resonate, and you've got to become this cloak of protection that users seek. So here we found that brands like Sephora, Bath & Body Works, Boots, Carrefour, leading the pack, but there's a treasure trove of insights which can be used for all the 10 brands that we've studied.
So tell us then about your insights and what can surprise the loyalty marketers in terms of grocery, Ganga.
Okay, so grocery, there's a big consolidation at play amongst businesses. And from a consumer perspective, there's a big overlap between the physical and the digital worlds. Consumer expectations also seem to be driving a lot of innovation in this category. For me, my personal surprise was I expected grocery retail to be functional, but I'm sure leading grocery brands know this well, that share of heart seems to have taken, seems to have become the biggest attitudinal driver here. People are looking for enjoyable experiences. They're looking for a brand that will win their trust, for a brand that resonates with their personal values. And I'm sure that's so crucial for decision makers who put food on their family table, right? Community building is coming out to be a big opportunity in this category. And the top brand, I won't reveal who that was, has a larger than proportional lead on the index compared to the rest of the category.
Amazing, amazing. So the final sector then is banking, which is always one that I think brings out a lot of debate, dare I say, in terms of how loyalty professionals think about banking particularly. So tell us exactly, what did you find here in the UAE?
So consumer banking was a delightful category to study. The relentless search to find and deliver experiential banking is very, very visible when you study the market. Mm-hmm. And the fintech boom is driving everyone to the edge of digitization.
Sure.
I loved finding that share of heart leads this category. And that's testimony, I think, to the huge effort that brands have made to connect with their consumers. The top six brands here are very close on the index. And that means that one or two of them can make a small push and perhaps gain a solid lead over the rest. And with a top score of 78 out of 100, there's still 22 points available for the reckoning that brands want to, you know, throw their hats into the ring for.
I think it brings us back to that point, Ganga. I'm feeling competitive. This is a country of absolutely ambitious loyalty marketers who are absolutely going to love accessing this research, being able to digest it, and I guess going through it with Epsilon as and when and if appropriate, if they want to get more detail. So just in terms of where it's being available and where it's being promoted, Ganga, is it the EpsilonLoyaltyIndex.com website, I guess, is the best place for us to direct people to?
Absolutely, Paula. That is the place to go to. And like you said, when people get their hands on the report, I think they'll find that the changes required are not hard to implement at all. For example, a recommendation to open a new outlet in a high street location is not something that can be achieved overnight. Yeah. But look at drivers like encourage people to participate in community efforts, recognize a person and make them feel exclusive, build entertainment into the customer journey, personalize every interaction, educate people on how to leverage points. These are such easy to deploy drivers, right? And our models show how they can really accelerate the whole loyalty perception of a brand, and is really a no-brainer when you use this index as a guide to decision making. So thank you so much for pointing people to where they can access this report.
No problem. And the other thing I think is super important as well to mention is I know you're planning to conduct this research on a, I'm guessing it's an annual basis, Ganga, is it?
We expect to do an annual refresh.
Okay, so it's something that can be monitored over time, look at your performance, and I guess really see the progress as and when, because it's something that literally, you know, as you said, if there are levers available that you can actually start to use, and I think what this research does is it allows the loyalty marketers to take it internally, if needed, of course, to get extra support, extra investment, to justify the decisions that they're making in terms of increasing that customer loyalty. And then, as you said, over time, please God, in 12 months, again, there'll be the 2023-2024 Epsilon Loyalty Index for each of the markets that you're focusing on. So we can start to see progress over time.
Totally, Paula. And the true value of an effort like this is when you are able to see the changes over time, right? And hopefully as a brand, also compare yourself to the category and your competition to see what kind of results your effort is yielding.
Amazing.
So definitely there will be a refresh every year.
Amazing. So listen, what I'm hearing coming through, Ganga, is a huge amount of pride. probably a lot of relief as well that this is coming to market at such an important time for Epsilon in this region. So just as my final question, I guess, how do you feel about the Epsilon Loyalty Index as you're launching it?
Thank you for asking me that, Paula. I think as a marketer, I love that Epsilon empowers us to design and create campaigns like this that not just inform, but also inspire the audience, right? We know we have a powerful proposition with the Epsilon platform and everything we do, but the challenge is to cut through the clutter of B2B campaigns that all marketers are bombarded with. Totally. The first strategic decision was to stay focused and target a really small group of loyalty marketers and CMOs. You and I know how hard it is to get through with emails or, you know, depending on conventional forms of marketing.
Yeah.
But when you're able to create an asset that the industry can use, you know, when it gets noticed and when a small set of believers are vocal together, I think that really makes a difference. For me, you are one of those believers, Paula. So I'm really glad that you are part of, you know, how we tell our story.
Absolutely. And very, very proud to do so, Genghis. So huge congratulations. I know this work is a labor of love for you. And yeah, it's absolutely extraordinary how much commitment you're showing both to, you know, the Australian market, as you've already proven, now the UAE. And I'm sure there's plenty more in the pipeline, which I'm sure we can't give away just yet. But listen, that's all of the questions I have for you today then, Ganga. Is there anything else that you wanted to mention before we wrap up?
I'm afraid I've already talked too much, Paula.
We love it. We love
yes.
it. I think the most important thing, Ganga, is I'm guessing that you're going to be provoking a lot of thinking for the people listening to this show, and not necessarily just in the UAE, but is it okay? Like, where can people maybe reach out to connect with you if they have follow-up questions?
I'd love to connect on LinkedIn, Paula, Ganga Ganapathy. That's my handle on LinkedIn. I'm quite responsive and I would love to engage with a broader community. It's when we all learn together that we will all grow together and build a happier world with happier customers.
Totally. Happiness all around, Ganga. Actually, that's exactly what the UAE believes in. So you've already got the lingo. That's absolutely incredible. So with that said, we'll, of course, make sure to link to your profile as well. So anyone who is listening and wants to speak with Ganga, just check the show notes and you'll be able to connect directly. So Ganga Ganapathy, Vice President of Marketing for Asia Pacific, Middle East, Africa and EU for Epsilon. Thank you so much from Let's Talk Loyalty.
Thank you, Paula. It's been a wonderful conversation.
This show is sponsored by The Wise Marketeer, the world's most popular source of loyalty marketing news, insights and research. The Wise Marketeer also offers loyalty marketing training through its Loyalty Academy, which has already certified over 500 executives in 38 countries as certified loyalty marketing professionals. For more information, check out thewisemarketeer.com and loyaltyacademy.org. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Let's Talk Loyalty. If you'd like us to send you the latest shows each week, simply sign up for the Let's Talk Loyalty newsletter on letstalkloyalty.com and we'll send our best episodes straight to your inbox. And don't forget that you can follow Let's Talk Loyalty on any of your favorite podcast platforms. And of course, we'd love for you to share your feedback and reviews. Thanks again for supporting the show.